Production. Recorded live.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised. One New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show determined to piss the world
determined.
Off. By shoving a mirror within society's face, he kicks them in the balls. I present to you Louis B. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
Yeah! Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war on bullshit. We will do anything we can to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I don't censor myself or hold my tongue. I attack the issues that I don't agree with, and I drag them into the light. I will do anything and everything to expose anyone or anything that is corrupt. Before we get started with today's show, we usually have the prayer for good radio by the Honorable Reverend X. Reverend X, take it away.
In the name of Jesus, repeat it after me, bitch. I come in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, you know, ruler of heaven and earth and every goddamn thing in between. You understand me now? You trust in the devil, huh? Well, if God send the devil in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, then motherfucker, you fucked up, huh? You fucked up, huh? You know your ass is doomed. What you got to speak? If you don't know shit to speak on this topic I'm bringing up, shut your goddamn ass up. Man, I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. It don't matter how you come with me. As you down doing what I'm talking about doing, lawyers and get this book open. Trained in these words to get the poor, the fatherless, and the widows up out of them penitentiaries. Are you down with that? You ain't down with that? Shut your goddamn ass up.
That's right. If you're not done with anything we got to say, shut your goddamn ass up and move on. We're about solutions. We're about freaking dragging the criminals into the light and burning them with sunlight. I mean, a very popular saying is, what's the best disinfectant? Sunlight. You know, and that's exactly what I like to do. I like to burn people with sunlight. Because, you know, when you really look into it, these people tell on themselves. They love to tell on themselves. And you know what? All you got to do is listen, educate yourself so you know how to recognize what they're saying and what they're trying to do. And you just expose it. You dumb it down for everybody else and you show them. And you know what? You do the complete opposite of what they're trying to do. Like with Obama. When he says do one thing, do the opposite. He says start investing in the stock market. Take all your money out of the stock market. If he says, start going to this place, don't go to that place. Because you know what? You do, especially when you know he's a puppet like the rest of them. You just move against the current of tyranny. That's what it is. They're trying to tell you where to go or how to do things. Do the complete opposite. In fact, start planting your own food. That's why they're trying to make it harder for you to do stuff for yourself, because the more you do for yourself, the more you can tell the system to go fuck itself. And that's where I come from. So yeah, we got that going on today. So today is Monday, June 22nd, 2010. Woo, it's flying by. Oh, God, I wish there were more summer months than cold months in New York City, because it gets freaking cold. The winter is just annoying. There's really no need for winter. I really wish global warming was real, because I would be outside spraying CFCs into the air to make it hotter. Global warming. Now it's going to be global cooling, as per the agenda of the... Bilderberg Group, as the article that we read before. Anyways, this is an article by John Taylor Gatto from the Spinning Globe. So I'm going to be reading this word for word. So this is Against School: How Public Education Cripples Our Kids and Why. This, again, from John Taylor Gatto from the Spinning Globe. I taught for 30 years in some of the worst schools in Manhattan, and in some of the best, and during that time, I became an expert in boredom. Boredom was everywhere in my world. And if you ask the kids, as I often did, why they felt so bored, they always gave the same answers. They said the work was stupid, that it made no sense, that they already knew it. They said they wanted to be doing something real, not just sitting around. They said teachers didn't seem to know much about their subjects and clearly weren't interested in learning anymore. And the kids were right. Their teachers were every bit as bored as they were. Boredom is common. Boredom is the common condition of school teachers. And anyone who has spent time in a teacher's lounge can vouch for the low energy, the whining, the dispirited attitudes to be found there. When asked why they feel bored, the teachers tend to blame the kids, as you might expect. Who wouldn't get bored teaching students who are rude and interested only in grades? If even that, of course. Teachers are themselves products of the same 12-year compulsory school programs that so thoroughly bore their students, and as school personnel, they are trapped inside structures even more rigid than those imposed upon the children. Who then is to blame? We all are. My grandfather taught me that. One afternoon when I was 7, I complained to him of boredom, and he batted me hard on the head. He told me that I was never to use that term in his presence again, that if I was bored, it was my fault and no one else's. The obligation to amuse and instruct myself was entirely my own, and people who didn't know that were childish people to be avoided if possible, certainly not to be trusted. The episode cured me of boredom forever, and here and there, over the years, I was able to pass on the lesson to some remarkable students for the most part. However, I found it futile to challenge the official notion that boredom and childishness were the natural state of affairs in a classroom. Often I had to defy custom, even bend the law, to help kids break out of this trap. The Empire struck back, of course. Childish adults regularly conflate opposition with disloyalty. I once returned from a medical leave to discover that all evidence of my having been granted the leave had been purposely destroyed, that my job had been terminated, and that I no longer possessed even a teaching license. After 9 months of tormented effort, I was able to retrieve the license when a school secretary testified to witnessing the plot unfold. In the meantime, my family suffered more than I care to remember. By the time I finally retired in 91, I had more than enough reason to think of our schools with their long-term cell block-style forced confinement of both students and teachers as virtual factories of childishness. Yet, I honestly could not see why they had to be that way. My own experience had revealed that to me what many other teachers must learn along the way to yet keep to themselves for fear of reprisal. If we wanted to, we could easily and inexpensively jettison the old, stupid structures and help kids take an education rather than receiving a schooling. We could encourage the best qualities of youthfulness, curiosity, adventure, resilience, the capacity for a surprising insight simply by being more flexible about time, text, and tests, by introducing kids to truly competent adults, and by giving each student what an autonomy he or she needs in order to take a risk every now and then. But we don't do that. And the more I asked why not and persisted in thinking about the problem of schooling as an engineer might, the more I missed the point. What if there is no problem with our schools? What if they are what they are, so expensively flying in the face of common sense and long experience in how children learn things? Not because they are doing something wrong, but because they are doing something right. Is it possible that George W. Bush accidentally spoke the truth when he said we could leave no child behind? Could it be that our schools are designed to make sure that not one of them ever really grows up? It makes sense. This article makes a lot of sense. I have a public school education. I know what it's like. It feels like you're in a prison. Don't wear your hat in school. You can't wear a hat. They would take your hat away. It's like, oh, you can't do that. They would confiscate shit. It makes no sense. You only learn what you're taught, and that's it. You're taught from a book, not because the teacher knows it. In fact, my chemistry teacher, she had her degree in English literature. And she told us this. Miss Chen, High School for Leadership and Public Service. She had a freaking degree, chemistry teacher, degree in English. She was teaching us out of a fucking textbook. So, I mean, imagine you have a question on what she's talking about because you don't understand. And she just looks in the book and she's like, it's in the book. Read it for yourself. I've read it 10 times. I don't understand what the fuck a zygote is and what the purpose of this is. And you're taking tests from the textbook, which, I mean, honestly made it easy to cheat. Because basically the test came out from the question section after each chapter from the textbook, and this was supposed to prepare us for the statewide test or the region's exams. In order to advance to the next grade. Because even if you pass the class but you failed the regents, you failed the class and you failed the grade. So, I mean, there is no innovation. There is no innovation. It's hard to learn like that. I mean, I started learning a lot more after I got out of school. I started learning a lot more before, oops. Somebody just sent me a text. Yeah. So, yeah. Here we go. It's public schools are just made to just kill your brain. It's not taught to teach you reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's mostly taught to obey, shut your mouth, and don't think for yourself. 'Cause I mean they punish natural child behavior. Kids are going to be running around the halls. Kids are going to be acting like kids. Kids are going to be playing around. You know why? Because they're kids and they got a shitload of energy and they don't know what to do with it. And you're going to punish them for that behavior. You're going to take away their caps because, you know what, they forget that they have hats on. So you're just going to snatch it off their heads and steal it from them. Alright, just teach them to be slaves. That's what public school really is. It teaches kids to be slaves. Get them ready for the real world of being a slave. So that way when someone like me or anybody else or political activist or 9/11 truther starts questioning the status quo, the slave taught in public school was like, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's illegal. No, it's not. Freedom of speech is not illegal. But they've been told to shut up and for like 12 years. While they're in school, they're taught to rat on other students for talking or doing stuff that's not wrong. Questioning authority should be taught in schools. Hell, they barely even taught me the fucking Constitution. That's why I gotta spend money to get a constitutional education. Yeah, Vortex in the chat room say they call them kids because they're kidding them. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Vortex. But yeah, no, public school is hell. It is hell. So what else we got going on here? It's kind of funny. I saw these people on the street for Planned Parenthood in my neighborhood the other day asking for donations. I really wish, these are like times I wish I had my camera with me, because that way I could film them as I gave them a tongue lashing of the century. As some of you may know, Planned Parenthood is basically for people who don't know how to use a condom. Or their parents didn't teach them that, hey, maybe 14 is not the right age to be getting, you know, start fucking. You know, they teach kids how to, you know, that abortion is nice. Abortion is necessary. If you're not ready to have kids, give up your kids. Basically teaching people not to deal with their responsibilities. So, it's, that's what Planned Parenthood is, as some may know. So, basically, Planned Parenthood's $2.3 billion from government. So, yeah, anyways, $2.3 billion from the government. A new report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office, GAO, on federal tax money funneled into Planned Parenthood. Oh, hell, can't hear me? Oops, alrighty. Thought I would try to play some background music while I'm talking. Let's see, let's try this again. If this works. So, a new report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office on federal tax money funneled into Planned Parenthood and similar organizations raises more questions than it answers about the nation's largest abortion chain. Planned Parenthood Federation of America's audits show that show the organization spent just $657.1 million between 2002 and 2008 from federal government grants and programs, but the abortion behemoth's own annual reports show that it took in $2.3 billion from government grants and programs during the same time period. That's not pocket change. Why did discrepancy? Sorry. The report, the first of its kind since 2002, was released in response to a request from 31 U.S. senators and representatives and an atmosphere increasingly hostile to abortion. Not surprisingly, then, its findings are fueling the escalating outcry to defund Planned Parenthood. As some of you may know, yeah, oh god, she's an idiot. Oh god, idiots, I'm surrounded by idiots, sorry. Oh man. So, I mean, look, this is on top of what, Bill and Melinda Gates? Hold on, let me Google that, Bill. And Melinda Gates. How much they gave Planned Parenthood. Just, really. Oh, wow. Look at that. Anyways, Bill and Melinda Gates, they donated $2,500,000 to Planned Parenthood back in 2002. And in 2005, they gave a $3 million grant to the International Planned Parenthood. So that's on top of the money they're getting from the government. So Bill and Melinda Gates are giving money to Planned Parenthood, millions, And the U.S. government's given Planned Parenthood $2.3 billion. I mean, if some of you know, some of you may know of, what's that called? You know, eugenics. There you go. The eugenics. It makes it. It's really fucking silly. This is eugenics. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, killing off babies, teaching people not to be fucking responsible, just fucking indiscriminately, not using a condom if they're not ready to have kids, not using protection. No, no, just suck it out. And now we got Planned Parenthood, da-da-da, freaking, God, why can't I fucking think now? All corrupting crap, they got all this extra money, and we're still, and we're paying tax dollars, our tax dollars are going to go kill babies. Are you okay with that? I mean, look, I'm not against abortion. It's your right to get an abortion. It's your right to want to kill your child. Yeah, fine. But why the fuck am I paying for it? Anyway, since 2009, at least 5 nationwide polls have confirmed that a majority of Americans consider themselves pro-life. Someone then needs to explain to all those people why $2.3 billion in tax dollars have been doled out to an organization that admits to systematically having killed more than 1.8 million preborn babies between 2002 and 2008, and then reports it at only spent $657.1 million in federal dollars. Has Planned Parenthood managed to tuck away mega millions of our tax dollars seemingly unnoticed, or is it that much of it's government funding coming from sources other than the federal government, or is there a problem with the way Planned Parenthood is reporting its expenditure to our federal money? Remember, Bill and Melinda Gates are send millions to these people already, and again, and also they got all this money. You know what? I gotta remember this. I'm keeping this around. Because, like I said, these fucks are sending out kids, 20-something-year-old kids, guys my age, asking for people to donate to them when they're getting $2.3 billion on top of $2 million from Bill and Melinda Gates. You know, the Microsoft people, the world's richest person, Bill Gates, sending money to kill babies? Come on. God, I'm gonna look. God, I hope I see them on the street tomorrow. I hope I see them on the street. And I'm gonna have my camera this time. And I'm gonna tell them off. I'm gonna say, why the fuck are you asking for money when my tax dollars already go to pay your fucking salaries? $2.3 billion to kill children, to teach people to be irresponsible with their bodies, to teach kids to be irresponsible. Like, what the hell? What the hell is that? Oh my goodness. Anyways, moving on to the next story. Oh man. Jesus. Let's kill some babies, right? Right. And I know what you're going to say. This is all from the guy that wants to take anchor babies and throw them in a fucking wood chipper. Yeah, anchor babies. Not American babies. American babies could be born any which way they want. But anchor babies get thrown in the fucking wood chipper. Oh, man. So what else we got going on? Yeah, so anyways, surprise, surprise, U.S. officials back away from July 2011 Afghan withdrawal deadline. Oh, does this mean Senator McCain was right with a 100-year war? You were in Afghanistan, the black hole of what is that called? The black hole of empires. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates rejected suggestions Sunday that U.S. forces will move out of Afghanistan in large numbers in July of next year under a deadline set by President Barack Obama. That absolutely has not been decided, Gates said in an interview with Fox News Sunday. Actually reminds me of, I forgot, Admiral... God, I forgot the name of this admiral. He says, well, there is a deadline, but we're going to go up, but we're not going to go up because, you know, freaking the most doublespeak ever. Admiral Hoover? No, I don't think it was Admiral Hoover. It was another admiral. He was giving a speech saying, oh, we got a deadline, but it's not a deadline because, you know, we're going to still be there because we're going to pull out, but we're not going to pull out. Yeah, it was like fucking doublespeak on top of doublespeak on top of doublespeak. It was ridiculous. And it was back to the article. His comment was the latest indication that the magnitude of the drawdown, if not the deadline itself, is the subject of an intensifying internal debate at a time when NATO-led campaign against the Taliban is going slower than expected. Vice President Joe Biden, an early skeptic of the U.S. military buildup in Afghanistan, was quoted as telling author Jonathan Alter recently. Jonathan Alter recently. Oops, did I just miss my spot? Yeah. In July of 2011, you're going to see a whole lot of people moving out. Bet on it. Bullshit! White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, who might be quitting this week, did not deny the Biden quote when asked about it. But it, like Gates said, the size of the drawdown would depend on conditions on the ground. Everyone knows there's a firm date, and that firm date is a date that deals with the troops that are part of the surge, the additional 30,000. He said in an interview with ABC this week. What will determine at the date or going into that date will be the scale and scope of that reduction, he said. General David Petraeus, the commander of the U.S. forces in the Middle East, said last week that in setting the deadline for the surge last year, Obama's message was one of urgency, not that July 2011 is when the race. When we race for the exits, reach for the light switch and flip it off. Seriously, why not? We've already spent $1 trillion on Iraq and Afghanistan. Money that we don't even had, might I add. We don't even have money for these wars. Two unnecessary wars. I mean, unless you want to start on Israel. And, and Pakistan. If you really want to go after those three countries instead of Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, they're already talking about war with Iran. What will be determined at the date or going into that date will be the scale and scope of the reduction. Yes, Petraeus told lawmakers he would be duty-bound to recommend delaying the redeployment of forces if he thought it necessary. In the same hearing, the Pentagon Policy Chief, Michelle Flannery, said a responsible conditions-based drawdown would depend on the being provinces ready to be transferred to Afghan control. And that there might be Afghan combat forces capable of taking the lead. So anyways. Long story short, we're not getting out of Afghanistan in 2011. We knew that. Everyone else knew that. Now they're just telling us what we already knew. There's going to be a war in the Middle East for 100 years if we allow it to continue. And it shouldn't be allowed to continue. Because guess what? All these new high school students that just graduated this June, are probably going to be going into the army, and they're going to be the new wave of cannon fodder. Cannon fodder. Anyways, we're going to be right back. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, kicking the issues in the balls.
Do you consider that torture?
Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm, it's the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no ease, .com.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Delivery.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood. Some of the benefits of Delivery.com: save money with exclusive restaurant specials, no more busy signals waiting on hold or rummaging through piles of menus. Discover new restaurants and merchants in your neighborhood. Earn points on every order, which you can redeem for prizes. Sign up today. Place an order with Delivery.com today and get 1,000 free delivery points. And exclusively for Crotch Shot Radio Show listeners, enter promo code TCSR69 for an additional 2,000 bonus points. Only from Delivery.com.
Believe it or not, you could get a professional custom logo designed for under $50. Logo Nerds provides small businesses affordable logos custom made to your specifications. And satisfaction is always guaranteed. The Logo Nerds banner on CrutchShotRadio.com and get a logo done for $27.
This is war!
Welcome back. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues of the balls. We're doing news and commentary. This is the second half of the Crotch Shot Radio Show. So basically, we're just going through news articles, letting you know what the fuck is going on. So anyways, CIA opens up disastrous 1952 mission inside China. Detail by painful detail, the CIA is coming to grips with one of the most devastating episodes in its history. A botched cloak and dagger flight. Hold on. I am doing a radio show now. Crotch Shots There we go. God, I'm getting like text messages. I tell them, hey, forget about it. I'm busy. No. Oh, yeah. It's important. You know what was the thing? Nothing. It was nothing. Oh. Okay. Now, where do I listen to your show? Crotch Shot Radio. You know, really, I just don't get it. I tell people where to listen, and they still forget. Chemical lobotomy, you know what I mean? So anyways, detail by painful detail, the CIA is coming to grips with the most devastating episodes in its history. A botched cloak and dagger flight into China that stole 2 decades of freedom from a pair of fresh-faced American operatives and cost the lives of their 2 pilots. In opening up about the 1952 debacle, the CIA is finding ways to use it as a teaching tool. Mistakes of the past can serve as a cautionary tales for today's spies and paramilitary officers taking on Al-Qaeda and other terrorist targets. At the center of the story are 2 eager CIA paramilitary officers and their first overseer's assignment, John T. Downey of New Britain, Connecticut, and Richard C. Fairchild of Lynn, Massachusetts, whose plane was shot from the night sky in a Chinese ambush. The mission was quickly smothered in U.S. government denial, sealed in official secrecy, and co-signed to the darkest corner of the spy agency's vault of unpleasant affairs. Lessons from failed Cold War spy mission in China. CIA opens up about the failed cloak and dagger mission in China. Lessons learned for today's spies from this is by Robert Burns. So, yep. Downey was the youngest of the 4 at 22, with 1 year of CIA service. He was destined to spend the next 20 years, 3 months, and 14 days in Chinese prisons. His CIA partner was 25, who was behind bars for 19 years and 14 days. Both survived. The pilots, Robert C. Snooty, 31, a native Rosenberg, Oregon, and 29-year-old Norman A. Schwartz of Louisville, Kentucky, did not. Bits and pieces of the story surfaced over the years, but the lid was largely intact until the series of disclosures, some required of the CIA, some not. So we got these 2 guys stuck in China. Oh, oops. Yeah, I gave them the radio.com/listen live. Oh man. So So the CIA is not that smart. They fuck up all the time and they leave you for dead. What else we got going on here? Next article, we gotta move on. Oh man, playing some background music. Actually, I'm playing some Tiesto Club Life in the background. That's the sort of music you're hearing in the background. Just thought I'd spice up the club, the podcast. We're playing some background music. And you know what? I kind of like having a beat when I'm doing this. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. In fact, let's hear a little bit. Oh. Yeah, just kidding. So yeah, we got reports claims Obama's chief of staff Rahm Emanuel to quit after midterm elections. A London publication claimed early Monday that White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel is expected to resign in 6 to 8 months, likely after the midterm elections. It is well known in Washington that arguments have developed between pragmatic Mr. Emanuel, a veteran in Congress, where he was known for driving through compromises, and the idealistic inner circle who followed Mr. Obama to the White House. The Telegraph reported, citing an unnamed Democratic strategist as their story's source. The paper continued, his abrasive style has rubbed some people the wrong way. While there have been frustration among Mr. Obama's closest advisors that he failed to deliver a smooth ride for the president's legislative program that his background promised. The unnamed source also reportedly claimed that Emanuel is concerned about being a good father and is facing near burnout in the nearly 24/7 job as Obama's top staffer. Bullshit! He's gonna help Hillary in 2012. Yep. And he recently embroiled in controversy when it was reported that he called liberal activists fucking retarded for objecting to the administration's health care overhaul. The remark prompted some Republicans, such as Sarah Palin, to call for Rahm's resignation. Hey, you know what? Not for nothing, this is the first time I actually agree with Rahm Emanuel. Liberals are fucking retarded. They really are. Like, I seriously agree with Rahm Emanuel. I mean, I hate him completely. Don't get me wrong. He's a scumbag. He has dual citizenship from here and Israel, which, in my opinion, is a conflict of interest. But I actually agree when he calls liberal activists fucking retarded. Yes. In fact, I live in a neighborhood full of fucking liberal activists. They don't know what the fuck they want. I mean, this is why I part of the reason why I like being a conservative. At least we know what the fuck we want, and we are specific. They're like, well, the government should do this, the government should do that, the government should take care of me, the government should this. They don't know what the fuck they want. They hated Bush because it was trendy. I hated Bush because he's doing the same exact shit that Obama's doing now. And I hate Obama because he's doing the same exact shit that Bush did. Continuing the wars. Continuing the out-of-control spending. Continuing the erosion of our civil liberties. Yeah, Rahm Emanuel is quitting because he wants to be a good father. Bullshit. He's quitting because the rats are fleeing the ship, the sinking ship. People are more aware of what's going on. Karl Rove did it to Bush. So this is more of a singularity. So there we go. What else we got going on here? Another, this article is another, like, no shit moment. Like a duh, you know, not really, you don't really have to think of it too hard. It's like more of, this is pretty much a given. Oh man, what else we got going on here? Oh man, so what else? Middle class, not the rich or the poor, pay majority of federal taxes, says CBO data. This is from CNS News. It's really, yeah, duh. Of course we pay most of the fucking taxes. We, especially in New York City, we get taxed on tax. Because you know what, and the reason why I say that is the products and services are already taxed, so they tack on another sales tax. And of course, the rich have loopholes to get around this. They're loopholes. And of course, the burden is on the middle class. And of course, I do believe there is a war on the middle class. Especially if you, do your research on Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs, he's a very, you know, they kicked him off of CNN because he was a very conservative voice. And he's saying, he exposed the fact that there is a war on the middle class. Anyways, the article goes to read, middle-class Americans, not the rich or the poor, pay the majority of the annual tax revenues taken in by the federal government. According to the data released in a new Congressional Budget Office study, households earning less than $34,000 per year, meanwhile, actually pay a negative average federal income tax rate. Middle-class households that earn between $34,000 and $141,000 paid 50.5% of the federal tax revenues in 2007, the most recent year analyzed, according to according to CBO study released Thursday. And households that earned between $34,000 and $352,000 paid 66% of the federal income taxes. I mean, and you know what's the fucked up thing about the whole thing? Is that there is no law stating that you have to pay federal income taxes. There is no law. It's all voluntary. The only income tax that should be paid are income that is earned from businesses. If you own a store, if you own a corporation, yes, you have to pay income tax. But private citizens that get money from those said businesses, it is a contract between them and the business. And it's illegal for the government to be taxing your labor. In fact, one documentary that really explains this well is the late Aaron Russo, his documentary America, Freedom to Fascism, which actually goes into the tax system of the U.S. Anyways, back to the article. Households in the top 1% for annual income, those earning more than $352,000. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I just tripped over my tongue and I broke my neck. Those earning more than $352,000 paid a healthy 28.1% of all federal taxes. But households in the lower income brackets paid relatively little. Those earning less than $34,000 paid only 5.2% of all federal taxes, and those earning less than $20,000 carried almost none of the federal tax burden, just 0.8% of the total in 2007. The average overall tax rate, including income, Social Security, Medicare, excise, and other taxes, for all American households was 20.4% in 2007. But the average rate rose dramatically as household income rose. Households earning less than $34,000 paid the average overall tax rate of 10.6%. So hopefully, in order to save money, you have to have no money or a lot of money. You can't be in the middle. You have to be a millionaire or a zero-naire in order to get by in this country. This is why a lot of countries are going to China and India. Because you know why? Because the tax is killing us. And of course, Obama, his solution for everything is to raise taxes on everybody else. This is why I call him Nigga Charlie. I fucking hate Obama. It's like, yeah, you know what? You know, the economy sucks. You know, we got no money. We're spending trillions of dollars for two illegal-ass wars. The banks were allowed to just take money and basically gamble our lives away. And we reimbursed their losses. We bailed them out, even though the people didn't want them bailed out. Because guess what? If those institutions were allowed to fail, guess what? People wouldn't have no more bills. People would have kept their houses. Seriously, what's the government doing getting into the economy? The government should stay out of the economy. Let the economy work for itself. Especially if we were in a true free market system, this shit wouldn't have happened. And now we're letting all these businesses go. We're punishing people for making money. The laws. I mean, I'm not faulting the rich anything. I'm not. But it's just complete stupidity on the federal government's part. Anyways, we got more news. We got this. This is gonna shock the hell out of you. Cause I know when I read it, I was like, no fucking way. No fucking way. Yes. Anyways, like to give a big shout out to Carly. She's listening. The beautiful Carly. Thank you for listening to the Crowd Shot Radio Show. Fellow Boricuas. Mwah, there you go. Anyways, back to this article. As reported by the Washington Post, U.S. paying millions to insurgents, Taliban, and Afghan warlords. The U.S. military is funding a massive protection racket in Afghanistan, indirectly paying tens of millions of dollars to warlords, corrupt public officials, and the Taliban to ensure safe passage of its supply convoys throughout the country, according to congressional investigators. The security arrangements, part of a $2.16 billion transport contract, violate laws on the use of private contractors as well as Defense Department regulations and dramatically undermine larger U.S. objectives of curtailing corruption and strengthening effective governance in Afghanistan, a report released late Monday said. Well, okay. My question is, how the fuck are we supposed to make a non-corrupt government when this government is corrupt as hell as well? So we're paying off the people we're fighting. We're paying off the people that we should be killing. At least that's what they say. We're essentially giving money to our enemies. That's like you're getting punched in the face constantly by a bully, and you're like, look, here's 200 bucks. Just let me go past, and you go punch me in the face any other time. Just let my friend go past. Come on. No, you fight. Stop wasting money. In fact, a better idea. Stop fucking with Afghanistan. Afghanistan was not behind 9/11. Again, if you want to go after the real people behind 9/11, look here. Look over here in this government. Look at Pakistan. Look at Israeli Mossad. And look at Saudi Arabia. Follow the money. Anyway, the report describes a Defense Department that is well aware that some of the money paid to contractors wind up in the hands of warlords and insurgents. Military logisticians on the ground are focused on getting supplies where they are needed and have virtually no understanding of how security is actually provided for the local truck convoys that transport more than 70% of all goods and materials used by U.S. troops. Alarms raised by prime trucking contractors were met by military with indifference and inaction, the report said. Jesus, why are we paying off these people? Oh, man. Anyways, we got like 8 minutes left to the show. Playing some house music for you guys, some background music. This is Tiesto's Club Life. You can listen to it on Tiesto on YouTube. It's fantastic. I like Tiesto. Tiesto kicks ass. Love the house music. Here's our last story. Buddy. Our last article for the night. Then we say, boo-boy. Law banning sale of light cigarettes goes into effect. A U.S. law banning the selling of so-called light or mild cigarettes took effect Tuesday. But some anti-tobacco groups say that the makers are sidestepping rules by using color-coding packaging. The measure signed into law a year ago by President Barack Obama, who smokes himself, regulates, sorry for yelling, that just pissed me off because I hate hypocrisy, regulates tobacco for the first time and prohibits starting Tuesday packaging using the terms light, mild, or low, which could lead to smokers into believing they are not as harmful. But regulators and tobacco firms are still battling over how the new measure will be implemented. Some say the color coding packs and switching to terms such as gold and silver instead of light and ultralight are efforts to continue misleading consumers. With a wink and a nod, the tobacco industry has found new ways to continue their deceptive marketing practices. You know, really, it's not the tobacco that's bad for you. It's the shit that they put in. How is something that grows out the ground, the tobacco, bad for you? The cancer-causing stuff is the rat poison they put in, literally rat poison, and the other freaking chemical stuff that they put in to kill you. I mean, look, it's like the whole thing with marijuana. It probably is not good to, like, smoke it because, you know, it runs hotter. But if you vaporize it, it's good for you. It helps cure diseases. In fact, tobacco probably does cure some diseases if it was vaporized. If it was true, pure tobacco, not treated tobacco, not put in cigarettes, just the actual plant, you put it in a vaporizer or something, or you roll it yourself, and you smoke it straight. I mean, and then we're so worried about, you know, a color coding system. Yeah, you know what? If you're buying cigarettes from the man, yeah, expect cancer because they put some fucked up shit in it. And, I mean, people are not going to stop smoking, and people are not going to stop being surprised like, oh, shit, I got cancer. You know, you don't smoke the man's shit. Again, this is where personal responsibility comes into full effect. Anyways, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the Crowdshot Radio Show. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern on crowdshotradio.com. We always update the site with new articles every single solitary day. Your boy is always news blitzing. Definitely check out our television. Check out, let's go through this. If you got a website, we got banners. Go to crowdshotradioshow.banners. If you have like an Apple or any smartphone, check out crowdshotradio.com/mobile. You can download past shows onto your phone or read articles that we posted there from your iPhone and your smartphone. Of course, if you're listening live, go to crowdshotradio.listenlive. That's where we, listen live to this show. Also, we don't ask for donations. Well, I personally don't ask for donations myself. I ask for donations for other people. I don't see the money. I don't touch the money. This poor lady lost her kids to a corrupt system. I'm helping her out. I sent some money myself to her. Also helping her out, writing letters to the judges and stuff. Christy, she has her own radio show. So, yeah. But also help us monetarily. CrowdShotRadio.com/store. Check out our links, the pranks, my personal pranks that I make. CrowdShot TV is where I post a lot of documentaries and concerts. Music is basically all the music I play on the show. A list of them. Interviews that I've done. Appearances I've done. Friends of the show who have shows. And everything else. So this is Louis B saying thanks for listening to the Crowdshot Radio Show and fuck the New World Order. And if you don't want to look into what we say, if you don't want to freaking open your mind and do the research yourself to see if I'm lying or telling the truth, then really there is nothing I can do. So fuck you too.